Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, and I am here, as always, with my good friend, Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. Nice to talk to you again.
I know.
It doesn't seem like we had a break to anyone else, but to us,
right.
It's been forever.
So behind the scenes, we've had a good 3.5 weeks recording hiatus. So, which brings us to today's topic, which is Midsummer Miscellany and an update on our vacations. So if you're joining us for the first time, this will be like sitting down and listening to us chit-chat, which is what we do every week, but maybe a little more today than normal.
I almost feel a little guilty that this is sort of an excuse for us to just catch up.
Oh,
because nobody else knows we've been gone.
Hanging out with each other.
Right.
And people listening.
Hopefully we'll be able to add some value at some point.
Yes. There will be. We just don't know what that value will be yet. It is yet
to
be.
It's always a mystery.
It's yet to come. So we're going to talk about the travels we've both been doing. Coincidentally, we both were on vacation for almost the exact amount of time. Very different types of trips.
Yes.
So we will catch up about that. We'll talk a little bit about what's coming up for us the rest of the summer and for the podcast coming up. And if you are a new listener, welcome. And I will say to head over to themomhour.com. And we have some great, much more practical, actually filled with useful tips, episodes about summer and summer travel that I will link to in the show notes for this episode. So if you're brand new, go to themomhour.com. This is episode 59. And I'll include a bunch of links because we've talked about summer travel. We've talked about free-range parenting in the summer. We've talked about how we get organized for the summer. So in case it sounds like we have nothing
to offer,
no practical tips to offer today.
We might have, we have at least one per episode, I'm going to say.
I can guarantee right now that you will get something out of this episode if you just stay with us.
Just stay with us.
All right. So I can't wait to hear about your big road trip. Should we start there? Can you let everyone know? Remind us if people didn't listen to when you talked about going on this trip, what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So we went on a trip. Our final destination was Yellowstone, but we took a long time getting out there and made some stops along the way. We have family in Iowa and Minnesota. So we kind of saw one on the way out, one on the way back. And along the way, we also stayed in just a variety of different towns across the middle West. And we wound up in Wyoming for the majority of the trip. We stayed in a cabin in the mountains in Wyoming with a friend of ours. It's a family cabin for 3 days.
Okay.
And then we stayed in a teepee for 3 days. In Wyoming.
I know. We have to put that picture up on the show notes that John took. First of all, I'm a little bit of like a photography hobbyist, so I'm obsessed with some of John's trickery, but like the starry night with the teepee, it was like National Geographic.
It's amazing.
John, if you're listening, John edits our podcast. John, I'm giving you major photo props.
I'll tell him
right
to listen. I'll tell him to listen in at precisely 4:30, the 4:30
mark. Sarah complimented your photo.
He's currently recovering from wisdom tooth surgery and is not enjoying life right now. So he'll be very happy to have the.
Yeah, that picture was amazing. And this is a legit teepee, people.
Yes, like a real teepee. Yes.
So tell me more about that. Explain the teepee.
So it's basically, the place was called Big Quiet Camping. We found them on Airbnb.
Okay.
It's basically just, it's an organic ranch.
Okay.
And at some point in this field, this guy put a bunch of tents and teepees and started renting them out. So, I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like a little camp. It's camping.
Okay.
We had, you know, ours was big enough for, they told us we could probably fit our whole family. Then we got there and the guy was like, nap. So he put the teenagers in a tent by themselves.
Okay.
And us and the three younger kids were in one. And they also had like a sheep herder's wagon and like a really cool little hut you could stay in, but those were booked when we were there. So we were, you know, it was five of us in a teepee with little cots and we showered in a teepee that was all rigged up with hot water.
Wow.
And there was like a little camp area that was kind of marked off by hay bales. And in the morning, the guy made a breakfast for us and everything else. It was cool. I liked it. I'm glad we had stuff to do during the day because now in retrospect, like it was hot and there was zero shade because it was a plainsy area.
Yes.
There was a mountain in the background, but I mean, there was no trees really. And so had we decided to just hang out there for a day, I don't know what we would have done. I don't think we would have had much fun. We were playing board games and the kids were playing on the hay bales and stuff. And we went for a horseback ride, but that was at sunset.
Okay.
So that was really fun too. It was me, William, Clara, and Owen all went on horseback, like a lead horseback ride. And we saw a rattlesnake.
Ooh.
Our guide, who was like a real legit cowboy, jumped off his horse and was like, "Oh, wait up, y'all." And then he looks over and said, "Oh, there's a little rattler." I was like, "What? What?" Oh, what?
Yeah, because the horses could get spooked, right?
Right. It was a little guy. They said that in this area, they don't get that big. But still, I mean, it was making that sound. It was crazy. I've never seen one.
I haven't either. And I've lived where they have rattlesnakes almost my entire life, with the exception of my Chicago years. But I've still never seen one. So,
yeah, in Michigan, I mean, we don't really have scary snakes here that I know of. I never see them. Or like wildlife here is just, I mean, except for the bears and stuff. You know, the stuff you see in your yard typically is more nuisance than anything else. So that was awesome. We did go to Yellowstone, but just because we couldn't, you know, by the time we started booking stuff, like everything in Yellowstone or right around Yellowstone was pretty booked up.
Okay.
So we ended up like about an hour away. And then the guy who owned the place that we stayed gave us this kind of back way to get in so that we wouldn't have to deal with as many crowds.
Okay.
So that was awesome, but it took us like 3 hours to get in. Yeah, to get into the park, you know, because we went like north and then we went through this huge mountain pass and came down. So that was just a long day of driving. We really just drove and stopped a lot and got out and looked at stuff and then got back in. And it was great up until we were like between, I don't know if you've ever been there, but between Mammoth Hot Springs and Old Faithful. That must be the most popular little jag in the park. And that's when it became really congested. So then we were just like, you know, we didn't ever go to Old Faithful, but I kind of felt like it was all so ridiculously beautiful that I didn't really care if we saw the thing everyone else was going to see. We saw the prismatic springs. Those were super cool. Like kind of this, I don't really, it's some kind of deposit under the water or maybe on the crust of the earth or something. And it makes the water, and it's somehow the hot springs create this, and it makes the water all these different colors. I have a picture of that too that I'll share.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe John.
I don't think I saw
a really
that
good
picture.
One of that.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, so that was like a 14-hour day, but it was great. I mean, we stopped a lot. We stopped in this one area in the mountain coming in. So we weren't in Yellowstone yet, but we were coming through the mountain. And we stopped and climbed up to the top of this, you know, this hill because there was a patch of snow and the kids really wanted to play in this patch of snow. Well, we were like at 11,000 feet at this point, elevation. And so we all start booking up this hill.
And pass out.
We all start slowing down. And the kids all made it to the Clara's like, "I don't think my little body can handle this." But we made it. We got some cool pictures. We came back down. It was really fun. And then, so anyway, then we ended up staying in a – and I say we saw grizzly. We saw a grizzly bear and their baby on the way out. Yep, that was great. And then we ended up in this cabin, and the cabin, there was no Wi-Fi. There was no internet or cell or anything. And so it was really nice. I mean, at first I was really anxious. I've never really been off the grid to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I had all my work taken care of, and I knew I wasn't going to have anything like that to deal with. So after like an hour, I kind of got over the urge to check my phone, and I just left it someplace in my purse or whatever. And we played board games, and this is another really cool thing we did. John ordered this sapphire gravel. Okay, so there's like a sapphire mine somewhere in the U.S., and I can put a link to this as well, where you can order – I mean, it basically looks like a kitty litter – like a reused kitty litter jar jug of gravel that has sapphires in it.
Okay.
So you just get to kind of like, you know, pan for them yourself.
Yeah.
And so we got a screen from – Ace Hardware, and then we just kind of put it over this big basin of water, and we went, you know, panning for sapphires, and we found a ton of them. It was super
fun.
That's
cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
And we hiked around there and went and swam in a really – oh, did you see the picture of William swimming in the lake? That was another one of John's.
Yes.
So we'll share some of those pictures. It was great. It was really great. I
love seeing your pictures. I do want to hear more about, like, car – like, functionally, how did car time with 7 people – in the car and kids of all those ages, like you don't have the little kid problems anymore, newer listeners, you know, your kids are 7 to 18.
Right.
But you still have a variety of musical tastes. Like, how did it work? Was there times when everybody's chit-chatting, or was everybody, like, in their own headphones?
I will say, I mean, we were pretty lenient about everyone just using their their different devices most of the time. The exceptions were when we were in Yellowstone, no one was allowed to use anything. It's like, okay, hey, you know, we drove all the way through, like,
we got
3,000 miles or something ridiculous like that to get out here, so everyone put your stuff away. And there was a couple other exceptions when we were just talking. We listened to audiobooks. We actually listened to The Martian, which does have some language, but nothing else. I mean, besides some F-bombs, there was, which I admit I occasionally drop around the house. Right. There was really nothing.
Haven't heard before.
Yeah. There was nothing really objectionable about it. So we listened to that, and Clara was bored by that anyway, and she put her earphones in, headphones in, and did her own thing. Everybody else listened. And we listened to the Star Wars, there was like a made for radio, I think it was Republic Radio, dramatization of the Star Wars books, which came out in the 70s. I want to say maybe after the movies were already written.
We have the Star Wars books. Brian actually got them at a used bookstore. So I know the books, so that would make sense if they're an audio version.
So I'm not a huge Star Wars geek. I mean, I know the storyline. I'm an Empire Strikes Back fan. That's my favorite one. But my kids and John really know the canon, as they call it.
So do mine.
And they loved it because there was all new content. It's all new. It's lots of new stuff. The voice actors are mostly different. So Mark Hamill was the same, but I want to say almost every other lead character was played by someone else. And I really thought Mark Hamill was a much better voice actor than regular actor, screen actor. I really actually very much enjoyed listening to the movie, which I don't know. I'm not going to say it bores me. I'm just not that into it. I really enjoyed listening to it.
That's
it was fun.
Really great.
And it was hours and hours and hours of content. So I'll ask John to, I don't know where he got it from. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere online. You can download it. But we can link to that as well. And that's, you know, just good, clean fun. And everyone was listening. And that got us a lot. They bought us a lot of time. There was also time when I didn't even want the radio on. I'd just be like, guys, can we just have silence? And then we did that. Now, one interesting thing, I think I may have even Instagrammed this early in the trip. When I had little kids, I was a subscriber to the idea that it's okay to take a while to get someplace because you got little kids and, you know, maybe all you can expect to get out of them is a 4 or 5 hour stretch in the car, and that's okay. You know, the hotel pool is great for that. Now with older kids, I kind of wish we'd just gotten there sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially so you wish you would have done like 8 or 9 hour days. Yeah.
Yeah. Not every day, but I wish we'd done more of those on the way out because we did a lot of them on the way back. The way back was like basically 3 long days, and it was fine. I mean, by the time you put in 5 hours, you might as well put in 2 more.
Right.
And because we ended up, we were driving across like Iowa and South Dakota, there's long stretches where there just isn't anything. You know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
And so we had to kind of do a lot of rerouting just to find places to stay and eat. And I think we actually spent a lot more money than we would have otherwise, which is good, you know, in retrospect is good to know. Also, it's a hassle to pack and unpack the car that many times. And we kind of had a system for that, but even with the system, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I was doing laundry at lots of different places and that meant we had to get everything out and it just, you know, I don't know. So I guess if I had one piece of advice, it would be if your kids are older, consider, even if your kids are young, consider adding that extra hour to maybe drive a little later.
Yeah.
If that doesn't screw up their sleep schedules too much. I know some kids can be taken from the car into the hotel and stay asleep and some can't. So,
or get up super early. I know you guys are super early, but like as you're talking, I'm remembering the only long road trips we did when I was growing up was Southern California to Oregon because all of our family was in Oregon and it's, you know, it's either like 2 8-hour days or 1 16-hour marathon. And we never did any less than that. We like, and my dad and I are kind of the same. It's like, let's just get there. Let's get in and drive for as long as we can. So we would either do 2 8-hour days, or even sometimes we would do like the marathon 16-hour, like overnight or all day. So I don't think I ever got any 4-hour road trips when I was growing up.
I also have to say, like, I mean, it sounds terrible, but kids today are kind of used to sitting for long periods of time and looking at stuff. Like, I could never read in the car as a kid because it made me really car sick. And I had a lot of driving with my, because my parents divorced and they lived like 9 hours apart. So I spent a lot of time in the car going back and forth. And it was torture because I couldn't read.
Yeah, that would be
really
hard.
I couldn't do anything. And my, you know, in those days, the kids didn't get, I don't know about your family, but in those days, the kids in my family did not get to have control devices. Over what was on the radio. Right. Well, or what was on the radio. We didn't get a say, really.
Right.
It was like, no, I'm, you know, my dad's like, I'm driving. I say.
Right.
I'm a little more, I don't know, democratic about that now. But
yeah.
So the kids now, you know, they're kind of used to it. I will say, you know, Jacob, who is 18 and has graduated and was a real trooper about even going in the first place, because there was graduation parties and other stuff he kind of wanted to be doing. So John and I just had this, our whole thing was, let's just humor him. You know, he's coming on this trip. Mm-hmm. He realizes this might be the last time he does something like this with all of his siblings. But let's just kind of humor him. So he kind of wanted to stop and have coffee. Like every time there was a gas station, he'd want to get out and get a coffee. And so we're like, okay, whatever. If it takes us an extra 2 hours to get there because we're stopping not only to get the coffee, but now he has to pee because he got the coffee. It's fine. So as long as we just built in a lot of stretching and a lot of time to, you know, and also a lot of times to like talk about the scenery and what we were seeing and how different it is from where we are at home. And so I think that was really eye-opening for them too, is that, you know, the whole world doesn't, they've only really been East Coast-y. They haven't really been out West. So
I love that.
Midwest and East Coast. So yeah. So that was a very long-winded way. Do you have other questions, Sarah? Anything else I can answer?
If you read any books or magazines or like any if you had any leisure time activities yourself.
You know, I forgot to charge my Kindle before I left. And no, I was tired every time I went to every night that I went to bed. I was tired, and then when I was at the cabin, I played the game Catan.
Okay.
And we taught our kids how to play euchre.
Okay.
And we did that from like morning. No, I take that back. There was an Ernest Hemingway book at the cabin. The Sun Also Rises. I read that.
I've never read that. I wanted to. I think I even started it once. Is it good?
I like Hemingway. It was great, and it was a perfect book for. We had a day where it hailed most of the day. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy, and I just sat in an easy chair and read all day. And it was the kind of place where, you know, you can't really. I mean, it was truly a rustic cabin. Like you couldn't. Everything's running a generator, so you can't really run the lights for very long.
Right.
And that kind of thing. So, you know, even reading was kind of like the light had to be just right.
Yeah.
But this was the time of day when the light was just right. And yeah, that was great. But I didn't do a whole lot of reading. I did a lot of just hanging out with the kids. And that was the nice thing. You know, everybody just really came together and had so much fun together. And even the kids, when we were hanging out with them, the boys all stayed up later than us and played cards and played Catan. And they all started playing poker and... It was nice.
You guys will remember that. That'll be one for the books.
Yes, absolutely. Trip. So I definitely recommend, like, if you can go someplace where you're sort of forced to like detox,
unplug.
Yeah, to unplug, and where that's kind of like not just wouldn't it be nice to, but you can't help it but do that. It really helps because you don't have any choice, and you can't be like, even a couple times I'd be like, oh man, I really should have taken care of this or that email, but I thought, well. There's literally nothing I can do, so I might as well not even think about it.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So what about you?
Well, yeah. So in the time you had your big trip, we had one bigger trip and one little trip, and we were home for literally 24 hours in between. So we went up to Lake Tahoe area. My parents, they don't have their own house, but they share a vacation home up there.
Okay.
And it's so beautiful up there, just in terms of natural beauty. It's so pretty. We go about every other year. The kids and I fly up just us, and it's amazing. I know I'm a broken record on this, but 2 years ago, Violet was 18 months, which is pretty much bullseye in terms of like the worst time to fly with a toddler, I think. And now she's 3.5. And such a difference. I mean, last time I remember having to really gear up mentally to fly by myself with all three kids. It's not a very long flight. But those of you who've flown with young kids know that the flight is just one piece of the puzzle. It's the security and the baggage claim and checking car seats
and dealing with the
airport. Yeah. And having three kids to one adult. You know, even bathroom trips if your kids are young, you know. So this 2 year difference in my kids'
ages. Can I ask you something really quick? Mm-hmm. That just raises a question. What do you do if one kid has to use the bathroom on a plane?
On a plane? So Allegra I would send by herself. She's 8.
Yeah.
I can see her walk down the hall.
You
know.
Yeah. That wouldn't bother me.
No. Reed I would probably is just turned 6. He's a young 6. And I would probably get up with Violet and walk him part of the way and make sure he kind of knew how the lock worked and all that.
Yeah.
And Violet, I have gone in there with her, which she's not anymore. You can both.
Well, and those bathroom airlines, I mean, the bathrooms on airlines are tiny.
Yeah.
I can barely, move around in there just on my own. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just had to ask.
I mean, she's
I wonder if you could ask if you were really stuck and had like twins or something. I wonder if you could ask one of the flight attendants to like watch your kid for you. I mean, the one that's sitting.
Yes. And I have left, I've probably left a 4-year-old sitting if I felt like the people around, and if they've got their headphones in and their iPad or whatever.
They can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Jump off the plane.
I wouldn't leave a wily toddler, but probably from 4 on, I would leave to walk. But yeah, anyway. So way easier at these ages to fly with all 3. And then, so some of our highlights is, my older 2 kids especially are just at the age where they're forming really fun relationships with my brother was there the whole time and he's not married and no kids yet. So he's like the cool single uncle and they've always loved him and he does great with the kids. But I feel like the older 2 are at an age where they're really starting to build their own like uncle relationships and they played Risk with him and they went golfing with him. And for the first time, it didn't feel like I was pawning my kids off on my brother, cause my husband wasn't there a lot of the time. It was me and then my family. And I didn't feel like I was like, hey, can you keep the kids busy while I, make lunch or whatever. I felt like they genuinely were enjoying each other. And it was really fun to see, especially the older 2 kind of develop those other family relationships because we don't live in the same town as extended family. So it's these types of trips where they get those uncle and different kinds of relationships. So that was really fun. I did find myself with like awkward pockets of leisure time. And what I mean is that it's getting easier to have the kids just run and play or play a board game by themselves or, run around outside. And I kind of am not there yet where I remember that, I might actually be able to sit down and put my feet up and read a magazine or, so I wasn't always prepared. So, and Violet still needs me a lot of the time. She's 3. But sometimes she'd be off running with the big kids. And if I could see them from afar running around, the house is kind of on a putting golf course. It's a golf community. So they can run out on the putting green. And as long as nobody's like playing a serious putting game through, it's like they just run free out there. And, I'd find myself being like, what should I do? Like, I don't
something.
Have a
And then
book.
Is that, like,
but it's not
spinning your wheels
time.
A little bit?
Yes, exactly. Yes. But, with a 3-year-old, it's not enough time where I'm like, okay, I'm going to get out an involved project or start to, write an article or something. That was like these unpredictable pockets of time. So a little preview into, vacations as they get older, but still having, a crying 3-year-old who fell and scraped her knee or whatever. Oh. So, I was going to mention a few things that we either watched or listened to also. Are you familiar with the Michael Pollan documentary Cooked on Netflix? I know you've, have you?
I feel like maybe I just, I feel like I saw one episode of that.
Okay. So it's only 4 episodes and I actually have not read any of Michael Pollan's books. I know he's a huge bestseller. Omnivore's Dilemma, I think is probably the most famous.
I've read that in the, there's another one that was quite good.
Okay. So I actually didn't, other than knowing he was famous, I didn't know a lot about him and I didn't really know a lot about this documentary, but I had heard it was good. And it's a great crowd pleaser if you're like on these types of vacations where you have like, because we sit down with my parents and my brother and my husband and like, we're like, well, let's watch something after the kids are in bed. And no, we talk for 45 minutes and no one can agree. It's not like we're fighting. We just can't find something that like,
right.
So this was a great, pleaser. It's 4 1-hour episodes and it's sort of like cultural history, cultural anthropology about cooking and food. Doesn't take a particular like nutrition slant, which I thought it was more going to be like an expose, kind of like those other documentaries, like exposing the evils of fast food or whatever. And, there's some things to be taken from it, but I found it not dogmatic in that way or not pushing any kind of an agenda except exploring like the history and cultural significance of food, but specifically cooking and ways of cooking. So
is this the one where it starts? Like, I think I saw one about fire and it started with like this tribal sort of community. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fire, water, air, and earth. And so it's a really fun one if you have, and I would think it would be appropriate for older kids too, who wouldn't be bored. So just, yeah, just kind of an easy one. And with 4 1-hour episodes, you could do it over, you know, a week if you were on vacation. So I don't know. That was a good one for us. We finally solved the problem of what we were going to watch. My kids got really into on Netflix. You know how before Disney and Pixar movies, they have those 5-minute short films. Some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, they compile them into a 2-hour, hour and a half, like whatever DVD. It's not a, it's on Netflix. So, it is just a whole bunch of 5 to 7 minute short films in a row. And some of them my kids had seen, like one of them aired before Big Hero 6 that they remembered. And, but some of them they hadn't seen, and most of them are really funny. Some of them are not, but that was another huge crowd pleaser, even the adults, because they're all really short. Sometimes they'd sit and watch all of them in a row. Sometimes they'd just sit and want one or two. So that was a good, that was a good find on Netflix. I'll link to that. But if you search Disney shorts on Netflix, it comes up.
Haven't some of those shorts then gone on to become like full length movies?
Well,
I
maybe.
Like, I feel like Up might have started as a short, for example.
Oh, that's,
I could be
that's
wrong.
Possible. And then sometimes they make shorts after a movie. So there's a couple Frozen spinoff ones and a Tangled one. Actually, the funniest one, the one that we were all rolling laughing, was after Tangled. So it's using the characters and the premise of the movie Tangled, but it's its own standalone short. There are a couple that are, I will just give fair warning, there are a couple that are a little heavy or sad. There's one version of The Little Match Girl, which if you know the original story, it does not end well.
No,
but
it does
I kept
not.
Thinking, maybe they Disney changed it. So that, no. No, it's
I remember
sad.
Reading that story as a kid and getting to the end and then starting over and being like, wait, did I read that right?
Yeah.
Does she really die? I don't want to have a spoiler, but if you haven't read this yet,
yeah,
she
we
really
should
die at the
spoil
end?
It because it's in this, yeah. And I think the thing about the shorts is they're really artistically done. They're beautiful music. Yeah. So there are a few in there that are a little – another one with a slavery theme that's a, also a little heavy. So anyway, okay. But that's a great – if you're bored of kids media, and I think we did an episode a few months ago about finding good kids media. So that was a good one. Oh, Catchphrase. Have you played the game Catchphrase?
I have played the game Catchphrase.
So in the board
game? It's so easy. Well, I've played the one where it's like – little thing you pass around.
Yes. So okay. There's an iPhone version. This is just if you're bored at a road stop or something. I don't think it's the world's best game, but the app makes it really easy and you just pass the phone around and it buzzes.
Oh, yes.
So if you're not familiar, listeners, Catchphrase is where you are looking at a word and you're trying to get people to guess that word but not say the word. And there's a kids version. So when you, the, I'll link to the app, but the app is called Phrase Party. It's like $2 if you really want to buy the whole thing. And then it has a kids like version within that app. And we had a lot of fun with that. And even at ages 6 and 8, my kids were told, they got the concept of having to describe something without using the word. And the things that would come up were kid friendly and mostly things they recognized. So that was another really fun one. I mean, again, I don't think it's like the world's most fun game, but it was a great like boredom buster and all you need is a phone. So
there's another game that my kids have been playing like at when we're waiting at a restaurant or something that's actually been great, like if they have friends with them or what their cousins or whatever.
Right.
And it's kind of like Catchphrase, but in reverse. And I don't know the name of it. Maybe
is it
you
the
do.
Headbands one? Is it like
yeah,
the
they hold the phone to their head.
Yes. I'll link
so
to
is that
one
what that
too.
Is? Okay.
Yes. I think, and they might even be part of the same app bundle because the first time I played them was at my sister's bachelorette party with all the cool millennials who do things on their phones. And I was like, this is great. And I was hoping there was a kids version and there was. But they might be part of the same app bundle or if not, I'll look up that.
Yeah. It seems like essentially the same game, but just in
yeah,
one case,
it's, like
it's the person holding it that can't see.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Both of those I think are, I don't know, I guess even though I do so much digitally with my phone, it hadn't occurred to me to do those types of games with my kids, again, because they're relatively newer readers. So I forget, like,
right.
Oh, if everyone can read, there's like a whole bunch of these types of things that we can do
right.
together. So
yeah.
Those were fun.
Right.
Yeah, that was my long-winded. And then we came home from Tahoe. We were home for 24 hours and we drove up to Santa Barbara, which is where I grew up, where my parents have just finished the house that they built. So they moved away for almost 10 years and then they retired back there. I've mentioned that a few times, and their house is beautiful. It's mostly done, and done enough to be lived in now. So
I told you we were kind of insta jealous seeing some of the
I know.
Pictures
well,
I
was kind of insta bragging, but
yes, you were.
I was, but
it's okay. It's fair.
It's just beautiful. They've worked with really. My mom has a really good design eye, and they've worked with really good designers, and So I guess I was sort of Insta-bragging more about the design choices, not like my parents have this gorgeous house or I'm staying in this gorgeous house, but just, it's just eye candy. It's home design eye candy. And I think they did a really beautiful job. So I did, I Insta-bragged about that house, but
yeah,
I think with good
intent. It was justified. It was justified.
Yeah. So we both got back kind of around the same time. And then what have you guys been doing since you've been back?
Laundry.
Yeah. For 10 years.
And it's funny because I really did come home with like a lot of clean laundry. But right after we got home, so we came home the 3rd, the 4th, we just hung out at a friend's house and did like nothing. Yeah. Then the 5th, I left again and went to the Podcast Movement conference in Chicago, and I was there till the 7th. John was home most of that time. And when I got home, I kind of thought maybe something would have been done. And I don't know. I'm always the one who unpacks for good reason. I think I do a better job than he would. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I basically spent, he had his wisdom tooth surgery on Friday. And so he's been lying around just recovering. And I've been doing just mad laundry. Because by the time I got back, there was like another whole week's worth that had built up since Monday. And suitcases just kind of randomly open. And I couldn't even tell like which clothes were dirty and which were clean at this point. Yeah. So I ended up doing a lot of that kind of stuff. Then we had to put, the food, the house had been left just empty for 2.5 weeks. So that, we had to get food in the house. And then a mouse decided to move into one of my kitchen drawers while we were gone. And so I had to deal with that. And so anyway, it was just like a lot of like catch up. So now I feel like I'm fine. Like the house is clean.
Yeah.
My laundry is done. I feel like we're recording this on Monday. What is it? The 11th?
11th. Yeah.
It's my anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thanks. So I'm ready to actually go to dinner for it or something.
Yeah.
Assuming John can chew by then.
No, I agree. This feels like the Monday of the first kind of normal week. I forgot to mention. So we also got back. We drove back on the 4th. We were in Santa Barbara that weekend, but there's no way to get back for Brian had to work on the 5th. Allegra was doing a little camp. So we drove on the 4th. We didn't really do any 4th of July-ish stuff except drive home. And then that was Tuesday. And then Thursday through Sunday, we had friends visiting in town. So we also did not have a normal week. They weren't staying with us. They were staying at a hotel. Just right, like real close by, but still we were basically being tourists with them, taking them to the beach and all that. So I agree. Yeah. This feels like the Monday of a semi midsummer normal week. I was going to ask you, what do you do with your pets when you guys go away?
So this time around, we had someone who was going to take Moxie for the whole time. And I mean, the little guys, like the Scotty Cheese Hands, our hamster, and I can't remember the lizard's name.
Didn't you lose the lizard? Who was lost?
Yeah, we found him again. No, the hamster was lost. We probably lost the lizard too. He's a tropical gecko, so he's really small.
Uh-huh.
And he just hides in his bark and stuff, and you can't really take him out because he runs really fast and can jump. So he kind of just, I don't know. Geckos aren't really very fun for me anyway. I like things that are soft and fluffy, and he's not. So we just had people coming by to take care of him, and we were going to have Moxie go to our neighbor's house, but she did not get along with one of their dogs, which wasn't actually their dog. It was like a dog they ended up kind of getting stuck with.
Okay.
So we didn't know until like 2 days before. So the woman who, she just came over and, three or four times a day and took Moxie out and played with her and stuff. But I would, it was too long. Like now in retrospect, she doesn't do anything. She's very lazy and she was getting taken for a walk, probably getting more actual one-on-one attention than she does at home. But I think not having people in the house kind of just made her sad and anxious and she decided to start peeing on the bathroom floor, which now we have to kind of now not put any, we can't have any bath mats in there because like she's used to that now. So we have to keep the floor bare. I don't think she won't pee on the floor if there's nothing on it.
Yeah.
For some reason. But
they do that when they're mad. We had, we had to put our dog to sleep sadly a couple of weeks ago, right before we left. But the last time, she had, doggy cancer for a few months. So we knew it was coming. But we had a similar experience the last time we tried to have just somebody come play with her a couple times a day. I think it was also her getting older.
It was before
she was sick. It wasn't that.
Yeah.
But just same thing.
She's set in her ways. And it'll work for like, 3 or 4 days, but it was too long. I think she just got too anxious. And so we'll board her in the future. The problem is she doesn't love being boarded. I think she gets annoyed by like all the other dogs kind of, and now she's getting older. So she doesn't really love, other dogs running around her and she gets kind of wants to lay around.
I think it was a whole year ago last summer of Rover.com. And I know you're in a small town, but Rover is like a match.com for dog sitters, and they can either come to your house or you can take them. And it's all user, what do you call that? Like, it's like Uber, or it's like, you know, user reviewed. So you can see people's reviews. They're usually like approved or insured or inspected by Rover, or you can see if they have been. Everyone I've talked to has had really, really good experiences. It's really easy to book and to check schedules on their app or online. My sister and her new husband did just have a sort of horrific experience with a Rover.com sitter. However, in Rover's defense, Rover was amazing about it. They gave them their money back, gave them a credit, and took the lady like off their list immediately. It's a whole drama that I will not go into. But I think it was at least, you know, I mean, I guess there's always a risk when you're sort of doing anything like in the anonymous way. But we've had really good experiences, and it's really easy to see like who in your area is a Rover.com pet sitter. So anybody
else? And I'm pretty sure Care.com does that as well. I didn't even think about that.
Okay, for pets, yes. I think you're
right. For pets, yeah. Yeah, so that's another, I think we'd probably just find a family that would take her or someone who would stay at our house.
Yeah.
And luckily we know a lot of, you know, single people. And
yeah.
And often, and honestly now, you know, I mean, I don't know that our teenagers are going to always want to go with us. And so that's another option as well. When we go on weekends, if Jacob stays home, he just watches the dog, and it's her routine doesn't change, you know, and she likes that. So anyway,
so
what else?
I was going to say, let's look ahead a little bit. What's going on for the rest of your summer? You have an anniversary and a birthday this month, right?
I do. My anniversary is tomorrow, and my birthday is coming up in, I don't know, it's on the 27th. So a couple weeks, I guess.
Okay.
Don't really have anything that's on a Wednesday this year.
Okay.
I don't really have anything fun planned. Last year I went roller skating.
Oh, that's right.
On my birthday. And the years before that, it had been on a weekend. So like I had three birthdays in a row where it was like a full weekend event. And this year it'll probably just be kind of boring. Let's see. What else?
Are you guys going to Shakespeare Festival? Don't you usually do
that? We're not this year because we're going up to the cabin in that we went to last year.
Mm-hmm.
In the Upper Peninsula, and my sister and her family are going to come too. So we're kind of, we'll do something with them, but we just, after this huge trip, which by the way was way more expensive than I had anticipated, it just, everything costs more than you think it will.
Yes.
Every time we sat, and, you know, we thought it'd be so easy just to find like casual restaurants to just sit down and, you know, grab it, eat like a cheap breakfast. And every time we sat down, it was like $100. It was just no way. There's just no way to get away with it. Now. And it's vacation. I don't want to be.
Well, and you know, somehow those little small town road stops, they know that you weren't the first tourist driving through.
Exactly.
So it looks like a truck stop, but we went to a place
like
that.
The prices are jacked
up. But
it's
like, we had a breakfast like that in Truckee, which is the little town outside where we were. And it's a super cute old like West mining town. And this place looks like, seriously, it looks like a truck stop diner in a very charming and like vintage way. And then you look at the prices and you're like, they're charging like LA prices for very mediocre diner food. Now, I love a good diner breakfast, but part of the reason I love it is that everything costs like $3.95.
Exactly. That's what
so
I love.
Don't
you know,
like
you get a couple eggs in. Right. No, I know. There was one place we went to in South Dakota. It may have well just called itself like Last Chance.
Yeah.
Like Last Chance Restaurant, because we were looking on my map and I was like, there's nothing. And I know that's, you know, not everything comes up on Google Maps, but nowadays, pretty much everything kind of comes up in some way. And so I was like Googling all the towns and like restaurant in this town, restaurant in that town. Nobody was open for lunch. And if we didn't stop at this one place, we were just going to end up like on the highway for 3 hours. Not even on not even an interstate, like on a back roads highway for 3 hours with nothing before we got into the Minneapolis area with just nothing. So we ended up having to stop there, and it was really expensive. And it was basically like fryer food. All of it was fryer food.
Yeah.
It was like they had a couple fryers and they just threw a bunch of stuff in it. It was fun to eat, but I didn't want to spend that
kind
of money.
Like you feel doubly dirty and guilty. It's like the cost, which is not worth like the taste of the food, which is not worth the calories. It's like
exactly.
A trifecta of bummer food. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, and I guess my other piece of news is that I'm on the radio this week.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up.
So in our little town where we live, there is a, you know, the local radio station, and they have some different people throughout the summer coming in as a guest, as like the guest co-host for the morning show, which is hilarious because I always, like, as a younger person, thought I might like to be a radio disc jockey or something like that. And as it turns out, I don't really like getting up that early. And I don't like having to be in the same place every single day. Like, you have to be there. There's a lot of things that didn't work out with me in radio, but it's really fun to, you know, have this opportunity to do it for 1 week. So I did, today was the first day. And by the time the show is going up tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can actually even link to it and people can listen if they're curious.
So did you know the main DJ personally before?
Not
did you
have any kind of rapport? We didn't. We met this morning, five minutes before we went on. We've Facebooked a little bit, but we have a lot of connections in common. So people recommended, a couple different people recommended me to him when he was looking for people. So, he's really easy to get along with and very personable. Yeah. And there's not, the thing is, it's not like podcasting because everything is 2 minute clips, you know? Yeah. So there's like a lot of waiting around.
You and I would not do well with that.
No, we wouldn't be succinct enough. You know, it was like we were kind of hanging out and then we both downloaded Pokemon Go because there's a lot of time to kill. There's some music playing and then they have like the station news and then they have this, you know, like the sponsor stuff. And so there was probably 15 times in a 2 hour period that I was actually saying anything. And it was for like a minute to 2 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
So the rest of the time we were just, I don't know, just kind of talking and hanging out. And it was kind of fun. I get to have like the screen in front of me where I could see the next song coming up. I didn't get to choose any songs. I think I might ask tomorrow if I can choose a song.
Yeah, I think you need to put in for that.
Yeah.
So once in a lifetime.
I know. But then it's like, what song do you choose? I mean, that's a big responsibility.
So what kind of radio station is it?
It's kind of like, I think it's the slogan is like, today's great mix. It's kind of like top 40, but easy to listen to top 40. You know, it's not too current.
Yeah. Right.
So you don't feel like you're behind the times if you don't know every song on there. Right. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really fun.
It's kind of the one that probably the younger people, but also like, our age people listen to as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have one more trip. We're going to the East Coast all the way to Rhode Island in a couple of weeks at the end of July. And that's Brian's side of the family. And I talked about it, I think, at the beginning of the summer on this show. It's a long day of travel, but it is really fun and low key once we get there. And another fun thing we've been doing this summer that I wanted to mention is, we divided up the weekends and are letting each kid have a date with one parent each weekend. So there's only one date each weekend. Does that make sense?
Right.
Not cramming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yesterday Allegra and I up and we just rotated through. We have three kids. So it was like mom and Allegra, dad and Reed, mom and Allegra, and then mom and dad getting their own date. And then we flip flopped. So, for eight weekends. And it's really been, it's one of those things that like you read that would be a nice thing to do. And I would always think, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but I hadn't ever implemented it until it's kind of too late. And it's been really, really fun. It's allowed us to take the kids someplace where the other kids wouldn't have enjoyed it and where we would have been kind of frazzled. So I took Reed to the Science Museum and I've been there before with the kids and it's always been stressful because they want to go in different directions. And he's the one who's most into science, so he doesn't really get to do the stuff he wants to do. So I just took him. And, you know, Brian took Allegra to paint pottery, to one of those pottery painting places. Again, a place that's not great to take a three-year-old. So that's been really good. I guess I just mention it because every once in a while, if I think ahead enough to actually make something like this happen. And the kids have been really looking forward to it. And it's cut down on a lot of like, hey, can we go to this place? It's like, well, why don't you choose that? You know, you have a special date with dad or with mom coming up in a couple weeks. Why don't we do that then? It's been kind of like a win-win-win. Allegra and I actually went to this really cool outdoor arts festival in Laguna Beach yesterday that I had fun. It wasn't just like me taking my kid. I know. I had fun at a place where you're supposed to have fun. So that's been really good. And it's gotten two dates for Brian and I on the calendar too, where I'm like, okay, that's our weekend. Better get a sitter. Yeah. So it's not rocket science, but I actually got ahead of it this summer. It's been really special. And I thought about whether I'd continue and just keep alternating. And I don't think I will. Cause there's something about special, you know, of course we aim to have everybody have a little bit of one-on-one time once in a while, but something about the structured date seems really special for summer. So I don't think I'll continue it. Well, I think we'll keep it a summer thing.
I like that. You know, that's something that I was better about doing for a while when the kids were like, when Jake and Isaac were getting older, I kind of saw the need to do that. And then it kind of fell off of our radar for a while. And I've been trying to be more intentional about, especially the older ones, taking them out individually because the younger ones, they get plenty of one-on-one time anyway. Like they'll, you know, Claire comes along, tags along with me a lot on different things and she'll be the only one or Owen will with John. But the older ones, some, you know, they don't always think to, they don't always ask to. And it's also like a really great way to get more bang for your buck because especially as the kids get older, you know, none of my three older kids eat off the kids' menu anymore.
Right.
And when we all go out to eat dinner together, it's like, only look at the sandwich menu.
Yeah.
Nobody get a drink. I mean, it's kind of like we have to really,
yeah,
really kind of clamp down on what everyone can do just to keep the cost under control. Or like, we'll never take all the kids to the real movie theater. We always take them to the one that's super cheap, that's like half an hour away, because it's a difference of probably $50. Right. But if it's just one kid, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah. So that's, you know, if you want, they want to order seafood or whatever, and it's one kid, then it's, you know, Jacob can order whatever he wants, or Isaac can. So yeah, it's kind of fun. It makes it like you still get the same experience, but you get a better experience, but it's actually more cost effective in the end.
Right. So, right. Yeah. And more focused. Yeah. So that's been working well for us. Yeah, so I don't know. I have a couple housekeeping before we wrap up, but did we forget anything about summer?
I mean, I feel like I talked about myself for like 45 minutes, so.
I know. We warned people at the beginning.
That's true, we did.
I do feel like we recommended some good media, you know, things to watch and listen and read.
Absolutely.
So there were nuggets. There were nuggets. Yep. And again, all of that we will link to themomhour.com. Look for episode 59. A couple of things I wanted to mention before we wrap on the podcast. Two things. One is that I have been wanting for a long time to put together a listener survey, just to hear from listeners about we hear from you guys when you send us emails and comment on Facebook. But we're always trying to tap into, you know, what people want to hear from us, what topics would resonate, how old your kids are, what phase of motherhood you're in, where you live in the country, kind of all of that. So I'm going to be putting together a quick and easy listener survey, and I'm declaring it on the podcast in part to hold myself accountable. But if you
making
don't
a declaration,
see it,
huh?
I know I am. If you don't see it in this episode's show notes, look for it on social media or in your email if you are signed up to receive emails from us. So, and we would just love it if you would fill that out. I will not make it very long, and it just helps us continue to refine what we do and get to know you guys better. So I wanted to mention that. And then also I have us slated in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks probably, to do one of our episodes about things we shouldn't have freaked out about, which is an ongoing series. We've had a things we shouldn't have freaked out about as new moms, and we did a toddler edition, and we're going to do a starting school edition. So whether your kids are starting preschool or kindergarten for the first time, or even if they're starting middle school or starting a new school, we're going to do a things we wish we wouldn't have freaked out about, or things we, you know, maybe didn't need to worry so much about, starting school edition. So if you guys have questions or things you are actually freaking out about, if you have little ones starting preschool for the first time or kindergarten, we would love to hear those questions from you. You can email us hello@themomhour.com, or you can call it in radio style by going to speakpipe.com/themomhour. And I will link to that. It's also on our web page. And that's where you can record yourself asking a question. So,
By the way, we love it when people do that. We love hearing your voices.
It's so much fun. And I think listeners like it too, because they're hearing the voices of other moms out there.
Yep.
So call in a question or send us a question. If you are actually freaking out, we will tell you not to. Spoiler alert, we'll probably tell you not to worry about it.
That's kind of what we do.
It's kind of what we do. But there's probably things that what we do in those episodes is look back and kind of talk about the things that we think, that's not such a big deal in hindsight.
We'll just give you a whole big other list of things to freak out about.
It is totally true.
So you can just change, just transfer.
If you would like to know what to worry about. No. So I think that's all I got for this week. But do look for that listener survey and do send us questions if you are freaking out about your kids starting school, and we will address them.
We sure will.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
I guess we're set for the day. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.